Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is a beautiful, rainy Thursday. Still thankful Thursday, June 25th, 2015. So excited you guys are tuned in today. As you may have noticed, we have changed a couple of things here with Couch Conversations. We are now 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, live at 7 a.m., except for today. We had to change it to 8 due to some storms in the area. Safety first. So, in addition to that, we've also changed our focus. We are now more family-focused for the next few weeks anyway. We've dealt with individuals. We've done 300-plus episodes, self-help, motivation, empowerment. And now we're kind of switching things over. All the same great stuff, just another topic, family focus. And so we talked about why we did the family focusing on Tuesday. We talked about on yesterday being part of the Oreo generation. And today we're following up with the Oreo generation, those who are sandwiched in between caring for elders and caring for children all at the same time during your life while you're still doing your own thing. And we really move towards a more of a self-help, you know, support yourself through the process, and there's something you can do. Today we're going to follow up on that, piggyback on that, and then we're going to move forward to another area as well. So I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm excited that you tuned in today. So today, following up on the Oreo generation, we kind of touched on that yesterday, but the feedback I got was that some people are still having some questions about it. How do you know what your role is? How do you know what you're supposed to do? How do you know that it's time to do more? Well, for me, when it's time to do more, you feel it. You feel it on the inside. Like, your gut reaction is usually the best reaction. Like, oh, I wish I could. Then if you wish you could, then you need to investigate and find out what it is that you have in your capabilities to do. So it may not be, you know, relocating people, or it may not be, you know, nursing home. It may be rehabilitation to get people stronger physically, or it may be that you do, like, the Meals on Wheels thing for your loved ones in your area, that you cook, like, big family meals, and you divide it up, and you start carrying it out to people in the community, or your loved ones who may not be able to cook for themselves as well. And yes, I understand the difficulties of working with some seniors, that their behavior changes may not always be, or their attitude, we'll say, may not always be as pleasant as times. But again, like with us and like with children, behavior is just like the flower of the situation. It's not the root of the situation. How people respond and how people act and interact is never like the problem. There's always the underlying problem that causes such things to be as they are. So when people are snappy, or when they're quick with their mouth, or they act like they don't appreciate stuff, if you were not there, it would be so different. If they didn't have any eyes on them to notice, oh my gosh, you have a bruise on your arm, what happened? Oh, I don't remember. And then a couple hours later, oh yeah, I fell down. And now you're noticing that they are in fall risk. Or you're noticing that they're talking different, like, oh, your speech is a little slow. Are you okay? But all these things can only be observed if you're there on a consistent and regular basis. So if it's a Tuesday and Thursday situation where you're giving up your afternoons or your mornings to impart love, because that's really what it is, any action that you're doing for other people should be out of a place of love. And it usually is, and sometimes it starts off begrudgingly, but you don't understand that sometimes when people need you, you need them just as much. And so you have to look at it with a bigger picture in mind. Like, okay, so let's just say Cousin Sue is grumpy all the time. But you know what? Having someone who consistently checks on her, having someone who constantly calls, you know, once a week, twice a week, having, you know, consistency means a lot to other people. Now, how do you balance that? When you have kids, when you have work life, you have to kind of become a better time manager because, again, you have to put yourself on your calendar weekly, self-inventory, self-reflection, just spend time, you know, debriefing and de-stressing yourself. Then you have the kids somewhere on the calendar, but they each get their individual time as well. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's only 24 hours in a day, but that's just it. There are 24 hours in a day. And then you have to make sure you get enough sleep in there. So, you know, if you got to put yourself on a bedtime like you had to when you were a kid, that may be really for your benefit, so you can have the full energy to go out and do all the stuff for everybody, including yourself. And then you have work responsibilities, and what I found is that it's important to leave work at the office and to make separate, like, I'm a compartmental person. So if I'm here, I'm here. And if I'm there, I'm there. But if I'm here, I'm not going to bring here over to there. I'm not going to bring work to my family. I'm not going to bring family to my work. I'm not going to bring this situation to that situation. Yes, we may talk about it briefly, but it does not get my attention. It does not have the power over me. It does not dictate, you know, how I'm going to interact with people that have a bad day at work or a couple of bad issues at work will not, you know, overflow and just really mess up my whole evening, because everything has a compartment and everything has to stay in its place. And if it gets to the point where stuff is not staying in its place, then I have to figure out, is that stuff still needful for me in my life? Because I don't need the additional stress. That's not a benefit of anything and doesn't benefit anyone. So with the going forward and everything in your life and moving forward and, you know, making these plans and seeing how you can be a better person in this Oreo situation, you have to really respect, what can I do? Okay, well, maybe I can't do this, but maybe I can do that. And then if you have, like, a family meeting, and call in some other relatives and see, you know, maybe everyone does not know the status of things. Maybe people are unaware that Aunt Susie is now a fall risk. And maybe someone else does have room in their house that Aunt Susie can come over, or someone else can come and check in the evenings if you check in the mornings. You just never know. And I know some families have issues with communication, and, you know, they'll never help, they'll never do anything. But here's the thing, you have to give people the opportunity. You have to put it out there so everyone's aware and alert and attuned to the situation that's going on. Because if we're not having these serious family conversations, then we have situations where we have loved ones in houses for hours, you know, stretched out on the floor doing that whole I'm falling and I can't get up thing, because no one is checking on them in their state. We have family members, you know, who are malnourished and malnutrition because no one is checking on them. You've got older people eating just anything and everything, cat food and stuff of that nature, because people are not willing to check and we're not having family meetings. And what we want to do is we want to be proactive or preventative, so to act in advance to prevent things from going downhill, because we hear the bad stuff makes the headlines all the time. And we do not want our people, your people, to be the ones in the headlines for the negative stuff when so much of it is preventable. On the other side of that, the other conversations we need to be having as part of this Oreo situation, we need to start talking about wills. We need to be talking about estates. We need to be talking about not just legacy planning, financial planning, prepaid funerals. These are serious conversations that need to happen. I've noticed a slew of GoFundMe accounts for funerals and funeral expenses, because people for some reason don't think that they're going to die, or they don't think they're going to die that soon, or they just haven't thought about it and talked about it with their families. So these are the conversations we have. Do you have an advance directive? What happens if you're in a serious accident? Do you want to be resuscitated? What happens if you're in a coma? Do you want to be kept there for how long? Do you know, like, what does that look like? And no, these aren't the wonderful rainbow conversations, but this is real life, and life happens really fast. And to leave that decision up to someone else kind of sucks when you're in that position to plan someone else's life. If you've never talked about it, you're going off assumptions. You could be wrong. You could be causing extra stress. When someone says, you know what, I just want to go. If I go, just go. Do not resuscitate me. I know that person's wishes. Yes, it's painful. Yes, a lot of us don't want to face reality that life is but a dream and a dash and an exclamation point. That's the point, is it's something short. It's short-lived. But we need to talk about those important things. Do you have a will in place? Oh, okay, so what does that look like? I don't want to know what's in the will. I don't know I don't really care if I'm in the will. I just need to know the location of such things. Do you have a life insurance policy? I don't want to know the amount. You know, make sure you're being real about it, okay? You don't really want to know the amount. The point is that you know where the location of the stuff is in case of emergency. Do you have a safe deposit box away from your home, like at the bank, where all these important papers are? Do you have an electronic copy of it? What's the name of the company that your policy is with? What's your policy number? all of these things need to be known, because life, again, life happens quickly, and the emotional state, we could be making rash decisions that aren't going to benefit anyone long term. But if we have these conversations, these hard but necessary conversations, and not just with our seniors, with our kids and with our other family members. What? With your kids? Exactly. Because we can make decisions for our kids to keep them in situations that they do not want to be in. And then you're saying, but I'm the parent. I make the choice. I understand that. But I'll hit you with this. It's at some point in time, you're going to have to let that bird fly. You're going to have to, you know, kick kids out of the nest. And a lot of us say 18, they can make their own decisions. Okay, but what if something happens when they're 19? Have you talked about it with them? What if something happens to you and they're 16? Do they know what this stuff is? If they're 14, have you prepared them for the shortness of life? Have you prepared them to talk about, so they at least know what these words are when a doctor's like, well, you need to make a choice. Talking to your 22-year-old, you need to make a choice about your mom's future right here, right now. We need you to sign this. We need her organs. We need to know she needs to be on life support. We need a blood transfusion. We need this. And they're hitting your child in the face with all this information. And your child can't make the decision that instantaneously because they haven't been given the tools because you've never had the conversation. In school, you used to have these safety drills. Okay, in case of a fire, we're going to do a fire drill. In case of a tornado, we're doing a tornado drill. And you practice it, you practice it. And in case something happens, you kind of know what to do because you've practiced it. Same is true in life. You cannot really know what to do for other people, what other people want you to do for them if you're not talking about it. When everyone is of same mind, when everyone is together, when people can, you know, work through issues for the greater good. They're like, I want her to be buried in the Rangers. I want to be buried in the Blue Jays. Well, if you said the outfit that you want to be buried in, or if you say you want to be cremated, whatever your wishes are, they need to be verbalized and written down so there's no confusion. You might want to go ahead on and go to the funeral home and decide, okay, do I want to let me hear my options. Okay, I can prepay for a funeral, so that's not an additional expense to my family. Or I can go ahead and get some term life insurance or whole life insurance, so that's not an additional burden on my family. When my grandmother passed away, it was the most stressful, emotional, hurtful time of my life. But in her advanced thinking, she knew that she was going to die one day. So she had a prepaid policy. That was one less thing I had to worry about. During her lifetime, she consistently said, hey, this is the picture I want on my obituary. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to talk about that. I prefer you live forever. I was not ready in my teens, in my 20s, to have that conversation with her. She was ready to have that conversation that her wishes could be conveyed. And so when the time did come, I was able to say, you know what? Her prepaid policy is at this place. This is the picture she wants on the front of the obituary, yada, yada, yada. And just because she was there and, like, mentally knowing that life is but a vapor, she had already planned that stuff out, and we as a family were aware of her wishes. And so it made stuff a little easier during that time of transition. Granted, it was, like, the worst week of my life ever. But just the fact that it was one less thing to think about, because it got to the point during that week, I was like, I don't want to think about anything else. Please don't anyone ask me anything else. Don't look to me to have any answers. Matter of fact, please just don't even speak to me. And I would be okay with that because it's so much to process during that time. I know when other families have been in the hospital and it's a panicky, emotional situation, the doctor's like, well, do you have this in place? Do you have this in place? Do you have this in place? And I'm looking like, no. And I'm not making any decisions. You're the expert. Go with what you know. And then, of course, think back like, wait, maybe they're doing this, maybe they're doing that, because headlines have all playing in your head and stuff, and you're like, oh, why aren't we having these discussions? Why don't we know? Why haven't we told people? Because it's not comfortable. Everything in life that's comfortable isn't always cool. Sometimes you got to stretch out the comfort zone. You got to go past what's normal, and you got to decide, okay, yes, I need life insurance. Yes, I'm 27 years old. This is like the best time for me to get the policy. The policy will help pay me in retirement and investigate and do those things. And some of the stuff sounds good, but it's realistic stuff. You don't know what can happen from day to day. And to put up safety nets and to have those hard, honest conversations is what needs to happen this week. and this weekend, as soon as possible, investigate, find out. We don't live forever. We're not going to be in perfect health forever. We're not even going to be in good health forever, most of us. So when you say to your family members, this is what I'm like in this situation, I don't want to be, you know, left in a vegetative state. If they say there's no brain activity, you need to go ahead and make the hard, I'm going to go ahead and make the hard choice for you. I don't want to be kept alive on machines, or I do want to be kept alive on machines because science changes and technology changes, and you never know, in 20 years they could bring me back. You know, whatever your choice is, that conversation needs to be had with the people who you love, or it needs to be written out, and it needs to be put in safe, fireproof boxes, and one copy should definitely be out of your home, and one copy should definitely be in your home in a location that in case something happens, you have a plan. If you live alone, let a friend know, let the neighbor know. I don't know. Find somebody to let know where the important information in your life is. That's my two cents, my personal story, my opinion on the situation. But in all of that, as you're, you know, gathering documents, as you're finding out bank records and people's wishes and what's on their driver's license, like great Aunt Sue may want to be an organ donor. She may want to donate her heart. That's fine, but that's the conversation that needs to happen. Even if it's on their driver's license, some states still need, like, the family to sign off consent on that. So you need to know what people's wishes are. We can't know these things. We can't guess at these things. But we can know them if we have those hard and necessary conversations. As you're doing your research for places to place family members or daycares or preschools or all of that, get witness testimonies. Get people who have been there, been through it, who've experienced that company. Again, anyone could look good on a brochure. Anyone could look good on a website. A lot of stuff sounds good. But what are the testimonials saying? What's the Better Business Bureau saying? What kind of credentials do they have that's beyond what NACI is looking for, beyond what OSHA says? You need to know that. You need to know what senior rights are and what's a senior care plan. And you need to know that there are senior doctors, the same way that there are pediatricians. And senior doctors know what to look for when they're dealing with senior patients compared to a pediatrician who knows what to look for when they're dealing with young people. Your ailments are different. Different things mean different things at different stages in your life. A headache for a senior can mean an aneurysm. A headache for a young football player could be a concussion. It's different things at different stages in your life. And so you have to be aware of all of that. I know some of you are thinking it's a lot to take in. In addition to chasing my dreams and following my direction and doing the studying, yep, it is. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It is a lot to take in. As you're growing older and wiser and mature, so are the people around you. And who better to care for or set up stuff for those people than people who care for them and care about them compared to someone who's just getting paid to do it. So with that in mind, you know, it's time for us to really just, again, expand and not, you know, be selfish in the situation. Be like, whoa, 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 me, my little group. Your little group is still connected to 30, 40 other people, minimum. These are the lives that you can affect on a regular and consistent basis if you choose to do it. Or you can choose to sit back and just let life happen to everybody and then feel some sort of way when something bad happens. No point in getting caught in your feelings when you could have caught your feelings before they fell, or you could have been proactive and preventative in these situations. That's just like for some people, you go to the doctor, you hear whatever report, and that's like, this was preventable. Most sexually transmitted diseases are preventable, aside from like a rape abuse situation. Preventable. How do you prevent it? Oh, these are the precautions and stuff that you need to put in place. Most pregnancies are preventable. Unless it's like a rape or abuse situation. How do you prevent it? We hear these things all the time. Drug abuse is preventable. How do you prevent it? Okay, so if all these things are preventable, then there are other things that are preventable that we can move ahead of. Oh, there's a storm coming in your direction. Oh, well, then I need to leave work early, or I need to reroute this, or I can stay later and wait till after the storm. Again, you are making the plans in advance for a situation that's heading your way. All we're saying is that in life, situations are heading your way as you are getting older, as you are maturing. So you need to set up stuff and have those hard conversations, even over, you know, family dinner, even at holidays, so more than one person can hear it, so people aren't thinking, you know, it's manipulation, then there's more family division, which we are going to get into next week. Why are families so divided? What divides families, and how can we start piecing the puzzle back together? Why? Because that's important. It's important because the family, the people that you kind of have to, yeah, I'll say for 80% of the Chinese people that you have to deal with because you're connected to them from birth, whereas friends and associates are the people you choose to be connected to in life. So, we'll jump on all of that next week, and I got a couple of guests that are coming in to, you know, help really jump into that and talk about the family divides, because we all know that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so that's part of the breakdown in our society, is that the family has broken down. What family means has been redefined, and we keep twisting things and trying to make things fit our current situation. Definition's been around since, what, 16, 15, 14, 1300. It just is what it is, and now we're misconstruing it and twisting it to make it look politically correct. Everything can't be politically correct because politics in itself is not correct. Now, if politics is correct, then maybe we can work on being politically correct. But until those things line up, we shouldn't be so worried about letting everybody be PC, and I don't want to offend this person, I don't want to offend that person. It's time for a lot of people to be offended. It is, because if you won't look at your situation, let me look at it, and let me let you know, yeah, it's time for you to be offended. The way you're living, you need to be offended. The low life that you're selling for, you need to be offended. Not walking in your gifting and calling, you need to be offended. Being offensive to others, you need to be offended. Using your freedom of speech for negativity and hate and division, you need to be offended. Not using your freedom of speech and remaining silent on issues, you need to be offended. Not caring for people when it's in your power to do so, you need to be offended. Caring for people outside of your family but caring for strangers first, you need to be offended. All of those things. It's time for a lot of us to be offended in order for us to, for situations to be brought to light, and in order for us to make the changes that are necessary for us to make so that we can grow and grow together and grow in wisdom and be better people. We're not going to be better people if we're always walking around giving ribbons for everything. Oh, look, you wrote your name on a test. Let me give you 20 points. 20 points for writing your name in high school? Kind of bishop? Nah. But again, politically correct, and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And, oh, bless her. Oh, she tried. No, she didn't. And she still got accolades for it. Whatever. But again, let me bring that back. So, being kind of smushed in the middle, yes, it's stressful, but yes, it's also necessary. Yes, it's also needed, because someone has got to be the catalyst. Someone has got to be willing to say, you know what, send me, I'll go. Granted, I don't like it, but it has to be done. Granted, it doesn't feel good, but it has to be done. And here's the other part about being in this whole Oreo generation. It's actually rewarding. I don't know if I've painted a dry, dreary picture. I hope not. But there are rewards and benefits when multiple generations can live in proximity to each other. There's benefits and protection. And even though we fight amongst ourselves, we know that we're not the real enemy. And, you know, we can guard up against certain things. And there's life lessons and family history and family stories that can be passed down. And there's nothing, nothing on earth like family. There's nothing like being around people who embrace what family is. And sometimes you got to teach some of your relatives what family is. But even through that process and love them where they are, in hopes that they'll get better, in hopes that they'll rise up, in hopes that things will improve personally and individually and collectively. Because at the end of the day, you really don't want those closest to you to fail. But if they must fail, we must be there to support them. If they have to fall, we want to be there to help them after they get up. Or we want to help them up, just depending upon the case and the situation. The reward is great, and it benefits all parties involved. And if you're a part of that situation, and again, you're feeling alone, you're feeling isolated, you're feeling the whole woe is me, please know that that's a trick. That's not real. That's some more false stuff appearing to be something that it's not. You're not alone. You're not the only person in the world in this situation. Yes, it's hard as heck. Yes, you've had to bite your tongue. Yes, you're out of your comfort zone. But at the same time, you're not alone. You're not isolated. And you're doing good work. And you can never, it feels like at the time sometimes, be punished for doing good work. There is a reward for everything. Every good seed that is sown has to produce a harvest. Not one time can you plant one seed and only get one thing up. It multiplies, and it multiplies in your life, and it multiplies greatly. It multiplies in ways that you may not see at first, not even on a surface level. You don't even understand the benefit of it. But when things multiply, some of it has to return to the ground, which means there's more goodness coming your way. Some of it has to go off into other places, which is still more goodness coming your way. The rewards of being available and being in a position to give back or to give more or to pour out of yourself, the reward for that is spiritual. The reward for that is earthly. The reward for that is everlasting, and it goes on, and generations will be blessed, and globally there's blessings and benefits of doing what is right in the right season for the right purpose with the right mindset. And it may not start off right, but I promise you, it ends right, and it ends greatly, and then there's a reward, and then there's a testimony, and then there are benefits. And we don't always do things for the benefits. Sometimes you just got to do what's right because it's right. Sometimes you got to make that hard decision to say, you know what, I can't do this anymore, but I've set something else up in place just to make sure people have the proper care and stuff for their lives and their quality of life. Because I don't understand allowing people to live in without a quality, a good quality of life. Despite the choices that they've made, there should still be some quality. The point of just existing for any age group, for the kids just to exist, without people who are interacting with them and teaching them and guiding them, that sucks for your childhood. The point of just existing where you are in your state in life and not going after and pursuing your dreams and taking the daring risk and adventures of stepping out on faith and watching your dream manifest, that sucks if you just keep your dream deferred and keep it inside of you. And the point of older generations not having anyone to check on them or care for them or love on them or to get the love that they have to give, that sucks. And that's where society would have us, isolated and alone and desolate and feeling some sort of way and in our feelings and stressed out because we need each other. It is not good for man to be alone. It is good to cohabitate with like-minded people. It is good for generations to be around each other in different perspectives and different mentalities and different stages in life. So we are teaching each other and feeding each other mentally and spiritually, and we are guiding and learning and growing together. We can be all the difference the world needs, but we have to decide to be that difference. We want this change in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our education system, and all of that, but we have to be the change. And it's not always going to be a pretty picture. It's not always going to be something pleasant. It's not always going to be rainbows and sunshines and fictitious pots of gold. But it will be rewarding, and it will be worth it, and it will give you the joy, and it will give you a sense of, okay, I can do this. Because when you look back and see how far you've come over the stuff that you said, I can't do this, and you're doing it, I never knew I could do that, but you've done it, that's a benefit, and that's a plus. And that not only, like, I'm not saying it looks good on your resume, like, for a job, but it just looks good on your resume of life. Like, look at that. You grew into something you didn't know you could be. You changed something you didn't know you could be because you stepped out and you lent a helping hand. You were caring. You expanded your own borders before life had to expand. You gave out of a place of sincerity instead of being on the receiving end of something. You nurtured your grandchildren or your children or your aunt or your niece or your nephew or whatever family member it is, and a stranger didn't have to do that. They received love from family, and that means everything. Many people, and so many people are not getting it, but you can definitely get it. And if that's something that you're seeking in your life, sometimes that very thing that we're seeking is something we have to give out first in order for us to get it back and in order for it to be, like, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We've got to give it away first. We've got to let life happen. And, yes, there will be dark places and dreary places, and you will have those days where I don't think I can make it, and I'm going to scream, and I don't know what else to do. But those situations are temporary. They do not last. What lasts is the legacy that you leave with the life that you've led. I'm excited you tuned in this weekend. Have those hard conversations. talk about the wills, talk about organ donation, talk about what happens if this happens, what happens if that happens. Have the necessary need for hard, difficult, emotional conversations now while everyone can be together and be in like a right state of mind to make real decisions for themselves. All right. Y'all have a great one as always. May the God of peace rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let's move forward together. Y'all have a great weekend. Talk to you on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Goodbye.